الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وفي ذلك فليتنافس المتنافسون، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, my young friends, and mothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed one quality in every human being. Every human naturally inherits this one quality when he is born. As he increases in his age, this quality also becomes stronger and stronger. And this quality is the quality of competition. Naturally, every human wants to compete in something in some way or the other. And this quality and sifat of competing with other people, this quality in itself is not bad. Just as every human has some sort of love for wealth. But love for wealth is not always dislike or despicable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our Sharia. Because if no human remains in this world who is inclined towards wealth, inclined towards dunya, and there is no love whatsoever in his heart for money, for wealth, for dunya, then he is not going to go out and earn money. If he does not go out and earn money, he cannot take care of his family. He cannot donate in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He cannot take care of those who are in need. He cannot help and assist the institutions that are run on the base of deen. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that this insan is very strong in love of wealth. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ The problem occurs when this love of wealth and money enters a person's heart. If the money stays in your pocket, in your bank account, and you use it according to your necessity, and the rest you spend it on those who are underprivileged, and you help those who are in need, then this same wealth, the same dunya, the same money will become a means of your salvation in the hereafter. Similarly, this quality of competing with other people is naturally inherited in every single human. This quality is not bad. When does it become bad? When this quality is directed in the wrong path, in the wrong avenue. Then this quality becomes a means of his punishment in the hereafter. And in fact, this person, before he goes in the hereafter, many times he suffers while living in this dunya, while living in this world. And Sharia says that this quality, when it is directed towards dunya in worldly matters, then it is evil, then it is bad. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam beautifully says in the hadith, Wallahi mal faqru akhsha alaykum. Wallahi mal faqru akhsha alaykum. I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not this poverty that I fear upon you. That after I pass away, the people, the members of my ummah, the members of my nation, they will become poor. I have no worry about this. Wallahi mal faqru akhsha alaykum. Walakinni akhsha alaykum an tubsata alaykum ad-dunya kama busitat ala man kana qablakum. Fatanafasuha kama tanafasuha. Fatuhlikakum kama ahlakatuhum. I do not fear poverty and faqr, starvation, faqa, that people will become poor, they'll be in need. They will not have simple sources or means to fulfill their necessities. This is not what I fear. وَلَكِنِّي أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ أَن تُبْسَطَ عَلَيْكُمُ الدُّنْيَا. I fear wealth upon you. That this wealth, the doors of wealth are opened up to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you have wealth in abundance, just as the doors of wealth were opened up for the nations before you. Because when a person becomes wealthy, what does he do? The people who came in the past, they receive wealth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Instead of spending this money, this wealth, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they spend the same wealth in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they started competing with each other. فَتَنَافَسُوهَا كَمَا تَنَافَسُوهَا. I fear that when you receive that same wealth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will also start to compete with other people in acquiring more and more wealth. As a result, what's going to happen? The people in the past, they were destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they started disobeying Allah. When a person becomes wealthy, when he has money, he starts competing with other people. As he becomes richer, he starts going to those places where the disobediences of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes place. He goes away from the masjid generally. And he starts competing with other people. This is why you will see if a person earns 30,000, 35,000 a year, and you have another person who earns more or less same, there will be no competition between these two people because they are both hand to mouth. End of the month, they are back to zero. There is no competition. There is so much love between each other. Many elders sitting here, when we were in India, Pakistan, we must have seen how much love there was between us. People living in one village, they had so much love. It felt as if every single person living in the village, they're like brothers. Why? Because everyone's lifestyle was same. They were earning same. No competition. When you start earning money, this is when the competition starts to happen. فَتَنَافَسُوهَا كَمَا تَنَافَسُوهَا. And then what's the end result? فَتُهْلِكَكُمْ كَمَا أَهْلَكَتْهُمْ. And I fear that because of this evil act, which will come into existence in my ummah, as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy you just as He has destroyed the nations before you. When you start earning wealth, this is when you start to compete. That this person has a house, he has built a new house, I want to build a house too. Maybe a couple of grand more, I'll spend more and show it to the people that I have built a house which worth more than the other person. He owns a car, he bought a new car, I want to buy a new car too. He bought his things of his house, his sofas, his beds, mattresses from Germany. I am going to buy it from that country which is more expensive. You start to compete with each other. You start to compete in position. This person has become a president in so-and-so institution. I will make sure I will look for an institution where I can become a president as well. You start to compete with each other. This person has become a school trustee. I will become a school trustee as well. We all know this is a reality, how we compete with each other in worldly matters. In honor, in respect, in money, in wealth. In worldly matters, we start to compete with each other. This is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam feared. فَتَنَافَسُوهَا كَمَا تَنَافَسُوهَا. You will start to compete with each other just as the people before you started to compete with each other. This is when a person starts to become depressed. Because he goes to university, he's competing with another student. That he's getting 95%, I need to get 96, 97%. When he sees himself failing in that, he starts to feel depressed. He cannot see progress of that other student. He commits suicide. There are so many students in U of T here in our downtown campus who commit suicide in the university. You cannot compete with another person in wealth, in business. You start to worry and you become depressed. Why? Because you are competing with someone in worldly matter. And the end result of that is you get destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, "Unduru man huwa asfala minkum wa la tanduru man huwa fawqakum." Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa salam. Don't look at the person who is above you in worldly matters. Look at the person who is under you. Because if you look at the person who is above you in the worldly matters, then naturally you will have this urge and desire to earn more and acquire more. This is how the competition begins. If you look at the person who is below you, then you will get the tawfiq and ability by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to thank Him for all the bounties and blessings that He has bestowed upon you. There was a pious person who came to the masjid, and as he was leaving the masjid, he didn't have any shoes or slippers to wear. Shaitan put a thought in his mind that you're such a good servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're punctual in your salawat, dhikrullah, daily practices. You recite Quran, you pray tasbihat. You try to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible. Despite that, you don't even have anything to wear in your feet. When this thought occurred, then he thought that really Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not being just with me. But because he was pious, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had destined to guide him towards the right path. He took few steps and his gaze fell upon a person who was on his clutches and he didn't have feet at all. And it struck him straight away that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has at least given me feet to walk. This servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is deprived of this as well. Instead of thinking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'udhu billah, is being unjust with me, I should be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and show my gratitude to Him. In terms of dunya, look at the person, look at those people who are below you. And this is the culture Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam created amongst the sahaba. When it comes to worldly matters, they would look at the person, people who are below them. When it comes to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would look at those who are above them. Study the lives of the companions radiallahu ta'ala an whom you will find in numerous places. In the battle of Tabuk, this was one of the most severe battles that took place in the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Muslims, they were in need of a lot of things to take with them in order to compete with their opponents. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made an announcement that whoever has anything they can bring and we can share it amongst the people who are coming with us in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Different companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum came with different things. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, eminent companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes and he brings 100 camels full of grains and food. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, when he saw these 100 camels, he became extremely happy. After a little while, he made an announcement again. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes, he brings another 100 camels full of food and grains. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes even more happy. Third time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes an announcement. He goes and he brings another 100 camels full of grains and food. And now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's heart was filled with joy, happiness. And imagine what kind of du'as came out of the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time. And the fourth time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made an announcement. Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes and he brings 1,000 dinars, gold coins, 1,000. He comes and he puts these 1,000 gold coins in the lap of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When these 100 gold coins were dropped in the lap of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam became so emotional that look at this companion of mine. Every time I announce, he's bringing something for this good cause, so that it can be helpful for those who are going in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he started to flip those coins with his hands. And as he was lifting these coins, he gave a statement and a guarantee of Jannah to Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that ma darra Uthman ma amila ba'd al-yawm. Ma darra Uthman ma amila ba'd al-yawm. After today, whatever Uthman does, nothing can harm Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Because he has done such a great job today. He has gone so far to please me and his creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that for the rest of his life, whatever he does will be pardoned and forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the culture was such, built by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When another companion who didn't really have anything, when he saw this, that Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam is giving du'as to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he goes in the market and he becomes a porter. And he starts asking people in the morning that, can I lift your luggage and drop it to your house? Can I lift your stuff and items that you have bought? I can drop it, I can deliver it to your house and you can pay me so and so amount. Or you can give me some grains in return of this task. He started working in the morning till night. And then he came in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he presented that to Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. Look how they're competing with each other in terms of deen. He didn't sit complacently that Allah hasn't given me anything. How can I donate anything? No. When he saw Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went and he worked hard and he made sure that he had some portion for the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the battle of Uhud, when the army, they were being assessed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was his practice. Before going in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would call each person and he would ask the person, what's your intention? Why are you going? How old are you? What's the height? Is he strong enough to fight in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If he qualifies, then only he was granted permission by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this battle of Uhud, many teenagers also presented themselves and they were rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for different reasons. The likes of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Bara ibn Azib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they were rejected by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Similarly, another two companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rafi' bin Khadij radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Samura bin Jundub radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they were also young. When they were brought in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rafi bin Khadij was still young. He asked him, how old are you? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you don't qualify to go and fight in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He goes home extremely disappointed. And he didn't think that I tried, but I was rejected by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So now I can stay home and relax and I will get the same thawab. No, he addressed his father by saying that you can go and intercede on my behalf to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he grants me permission so I can go and fight in the path of Allah. His father, Khadij, goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says that I know you have rejected my son because he was not old enough or his height wasn't enough to qualify to fight in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there is one good quality in my son, that he is very expert in archery. He's a good tir andaz. He's a good archer. So please grant him permission. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, okay, go bring him. I need to check how he throws his arrows. When Rafi ibn Khadij is brought in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, out of this fear that again he will be rejected by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he stood on his toes just to make sure that he qualifies. My brother, there is a great lesson for me and you. These are teenagers, 13, 14 years old. But look at the passion, look at the jazba, look at the zeal to give everything for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had every excuse not to go and fight in the path of Allah and save his life. But he did not do that. He was passionate about it. He wanted to go. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam granted him permission. When his friend Samura ibn Jundub saw this, he went home and he spoke to his stepfather, because his father had passed away. He spoke to his stepfather and he said that my friend Rafi ibn Khadij was granted permission by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now I'm envious. I would also like to go and participate in the battle. And I can assure you that I am more stronger than my friend Rafi ibn Khadij. And if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam wants to test my strength, we can have a wrestling match and I can put him on the ground. Now Samura ibn Jundub's stepfather, he also went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he said that this is what my son is saying, you can test him. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam called both of them, Rafi ibn Khadij and his friend Samura ibn Jundub. They had a wrestling match and Samura ibn Jundub took Rafi ibn Khadij down. According to some narration, he told his friend that you are already qualified, please lose so I can also qualify and fight in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The gist of today's talk is look at how passionate they were for the deen of Allah and how they used to compete in good things. How they used to compete in good things. Similarly, one more incident that took place in the Battle of Badr as well. Two young companions, they came, and Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that these two youngsters, they were standing. One was standing on my right, one was standing on my left. And I was thinking to myself that I have two small children next to me. What's going to happen to me in the battlefield? But as I was thinking, one of them nudged me and he asked me, Ya ammi ata'rifu Abu Jahlin? Oh my beloved uncle, do you know who Abu Jahl is? So I said to him, oh youngster, what are you going to do if I show you who Abu Jahl is? He said, فَإِنِّي سَمِعْتُ أَنَّهُ يَسُبُّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ I have heard that Abu Jahl says bad things to my beloved Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَاللَّهِ لَوْ رَأَيْتُهُ الْيَوْمِ لَا يُفَارِقُ سَوَادِي سَوَادَهُ حَتَّى يَمُوتَ الْأَعْجَلُ مِنَّا I swear by Allah, if I see this individual Abu Jahl today, then we will not separate from each other except that one of us will be killed. And then as he completed his conversation, another youngster on the other side, he nudged me and he said the same thing to me. And I was so shocked to see their passion. So I thought to myself that let me show them who Abu Jahl is. Before the battle even began, I showed them who Abu Jahl was. And both of them ran and pounced on Abu Jahl. And this is how Abu Jahl passed away and he could not even participate in the Battle of Badr. This is how they used to compete. When your concern, when your focus becomes akhirah, my brothers, you don't compete in worldly matters. You don't compete in wealth. You don't compete in money. You don't compete in houses. You don't compete in cars. You don't compete in positions, honor, respect. Your focus becomes something else. It becomes deen. This person is performing 5 times salah and tahajjud salah. I'm only performing 5 times salah. I need to become punctual in tahajjud salah as well. This becomes your concern.
إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ تَعْرِفُ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ نَظْرَةَ النَّعِيمِ يُسْقَوْنَ مِنْ رَحِيقٍ مَخْتُومٍ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of the bounties of Jannah. And He says that work hard for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gain the pleasure of Allah, and you will be in many, many bounties in Jannah. And what's going to happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in Jannah you will be sitting on sofas, talking to each other and looking at good sceneries in Jannah. Yusqaw, and the freshness or the nur of those bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people will be able to see that on your face. تَعْرِفُ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ نَظْرَةَ النَّعِيمِ يُسْقَوْنَ مِنْ رَحِيقٍ مَخْتُومٍ. And you will be granted different kinds of wine, which will be sealed, no one has ever touched. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. It is in these causes where the true believers, they compete with each other. So let us go with this message today, that we will also make our focus akhirah and not this dunya. Because my brothers, this dunya will come to an end. And every single person will agree with me. We have many differences. Many, many differences. But when it comes to death, there is no difference. There is no ikhtilaf. Everyone is muttafiq, unanimous. That every single person who comes to this world will leave this world. Because even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّكُمْ مَيِّتُونَ كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانٌ. Everything that exists in this dunya will come to an end. The only thing that will remain with you is your good a'mal. So let us make our focus, our concern hereafter, and instead of competing with each other in terms of dunya, let us start to compete with each other in deen. That this person is pious, he's more pious than me, I need to become pious, so I need to work towards it. If we do this, then inshallah we'll have a peaceful life in this dunya as well. You will be at ease, in peace in your qabr as well. And on the day of judgment, when you are resurrected before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah you will be granted entry into paradise without any reckoning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to practice upon what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.